Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Michael Rietblatt, who is the CEO of Forder. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me again, Karen.
So we're going to talk about something I think is an interesting departure, perhaps, from your core business, which is making sure that the fraudsters don't get the best of merchants who are trying to just serve customers. And that's this concept of how to make sure that data in real time reflects reality. And as I was thinking about the experience of the political season, which as much as we might like to escape it, we can't. All of the various polls that have been released that talk about particular candidates or issues being popular or not popular, it struck me that so many of them are just so wildly off. And this happened, of course, last election as well. And so my question to you, Michael, is you do a very good job of this from the fraud perspective. If you were running the pollsters this election season, what would you change? How would you make them better?
Right. I'm not a poll expert, but it seems like it's kind of the similarities here are some people lie, and you need to understand which ones are the ones you need to account for. Same thing right in payment fraud. And the second thing is people change all the time. And part of the whole poll model is you would talk to a small group of people that you think represent the globe, the whole population that you're measuring. And we constantly found out that it's not the case. In our space, it used to be that you would do, right, in fraud prevention, you would set up a rule that is a general rule for cutting a population by certain measurements, and you would see that it's not as accurate because every person is different and every transaction is different. And looking at from a polling perspective, right, you have a group of, let's say, 600 or 1,000 people, and you're trying to guess what it says about or estimates what it says about a group of 10 million people. And interest in those groups change all the time. And you're trying to balance staying up to date, right? So you constantly want to change those groups. And then the second piece is how do you assemble a group from the right people? So I know that pollsters started using machine learning to try to track broader and groups of people and trying to estimate from there. The problem with machine learning is you don't actually understand a person individually. And it's all about the quality of the understanding the pollsters give them. Another thing is, in my understanding of it, is they're under a lot of pressure to give a result now for a certain sector. They don't actually learn a specific segment of people, and then they move to the next one. And you really need to understand the people and what, how different indicators where they actually won't lie about will give you an insight into what they're actually thinking.
Well, you raised a bunch of interesting points, and that is, you know, I often wondered who answers the phone at home anymore. I mean, first of all, the idea of a phone at home, you know, we all have landlines, but who's home to answer them anymore? And those who are home, isn't that also part of the problem where the people you're selecting have a particular profile that unless you're in tune with what their biases might be, do provide a very different picture of the result? How do you account for that when you've selected your sample and maybe you're blind to the biases?
I think it's even harder than that. A lot of the phones are just a virtual representation of the real phone, right? The phone I'm using is a Google Voice that connects to my other phone, and I constantly change that. You may think that you're calling someone at home, but they're actually not at home. I don't know how common it is, or whether the pollsters purposely select only the phones they know for a fact are home phones. But in that case, they will miss me because I don't have a phone at home for the last 10 years. And I'm sure that more and more people don't have those. There is, of course, a question of limitations on you're putting on people just by the nature of the fact that they're talking to you. A lot of people don't want to talk to pollsters. And I'm sure that they are representative of certain opinions versus others in terms of privacy and government perspective and so on. So you may be missing on whole types of population.
Well, I know in your world, you don't necessarily ask fraudsters what they're doing. You observe their behavior, and you're always observing their behavior. And by knowing what they do and what they've done, you can anticipate what they're likely to do. I guess the pollster model doesn't necessarily do that, and it kind of makes you wonder if that's just a model that is an interesting data point, but certainly not the appropriate decision point.
I come from Israel, so we have some interesting debates with pollsters in Israel in the last election of people that were publicly stating that they will do something or they will vote for one candidate, and then at the moment of truth when they had to vote, voted for the other one. And it kind of reminds me of another thing. I was running product for several companies, and you often talk to your customers or your constituencies internally, and you would ask them, what is your main issues and what is the biggest problem you want to solve for you? And they will tell you stuff. And then the best way to predict what they actually want is was to record their behavior, to record their screen and see how they're actually using your product. And then you were able to say, well, you think that this is your main issue, but if I solve this for you, you will be way happier. So sometimes they will kind of coming, tying it to the poll perspective. People think that this is what they're going to do, but in the end, they do something else. And I'm sure you can track that through other types of behaviors in their lives, right?
Well, I would think that's absolutely true. And I think the big question as, you know, we think about this not just in the political landscape, but in all the other ways that we survey consumers and ask them about their opinions, it just seems to me that there are other ways to get better and more reliable information that that contributes the right decision, because consumers don't always know what they don't know. And you know, depending upon how you ask the question, it also makes a difference on what consumers say in response.
To be fair, though, right, for our job is almost easier because we can track a behavior of a person or a buyer across a long period of time and to say, well, this is how they usually behave, this is what changed, and we see a lot of different transactions, right? Whether it's interactions with a website or actual payments, where a pollster, in most cases, it's one every 4-year event, and people can change a lot in that 4 years. So whatever you knew about them 4 years ago doesn't matter anymore in a lot of the cases. And you only have one observation. So, you know, kind of fairness, it's a harder job to do. The question is, how accurate do you have to do it? Right. But I think looking at a lot of poll results, they're oftentimes off by a huge margin and not by a little. So I'm not sure they're doing their job as good as possible, but it's also, we need to recognize that it's harder because you have just one observation.
Yeah, I take your point that the job is hard. It does make for, you know, interesting television and media coverage, but I think in terms of hanging your hat on the reliability of what you're seeing, as we've observed, it's not entirely reliable. Well, it is an interesting topic to debate, and I think that, you know, my takeaway is it's always more reliable to see what people are doing rather than to ask them what they might do in a particular circumstance, because that circumstance may change 15 minutes after you ask them the question.
Yeah, a lot of people will object to that because they will say, well, I know what I'm about to do better than what someone can predict. But in a lot of tools, you see that that's inaccurate, that oftentimes they think they'll do X, and in the end, they'll do the exact opposite of it for various reasons.
Yeah.
So people are oftentimes not a good judge of their own character.
Interesting. Well, Michael, as always, it's fascinating to get your perspective on this, and I appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Thank you very much.